Okay, there's really a new piece of Gemara, but basically the Gemara was discussing our Mishnah is Chulin and Maisa, one category, two categories, but now the Gemara says a new thing. Amar Rav Mari says, Shmamina, from our Mishnah we can derive a din that Chulin Shanasa Altaras HaKadosh, that Chulin, which was prepared, meaning people kept it like Hegdish, has a din, Kukedish Dhamma is like Hegdish. The explanation of this is as follows. We learned before in the Gemara that there are people that used to be so careful in purity, in the laws of purity and impurity, that even chulin, even the everyday food that they ate, they kept it with the same level of Kedusha as Hegdish. That's how the Mamish treated it, to make sure it didn't come in any contact whatsoever. Not only did they do that, but we learned, remember we were discussing how far Tumit could go. Chulin stops at Sheni. Remember, the dead body is Avi Avesa Tumah. A person who is impure is an Avatuma. They touch something, it becomes a Rishon. Then if it touches something else, it becomes a Sheni.
What's a Chulin?
Chulin is everyday stuff. Chulin stops at Sheni. Truma goes a step further. Truma could even become Tameh, even a Shlishi. Which means, if a Sheni touches Chulin, nothing happens to it. It doesn't become Tameh. If Sheni touches Truma, Truma becomes a Shlishi. That means Truma is another step of Tumah. Hegdish goes even to the V. Mechatas, the water of the Paraduma, can even go to Chamishi. Which means, Chulin stops at a Sheni. After Sheni, the Tumah does not go past beyond in Chulin. Tumah goes to Shlishi, Hegdish goes to Revi, Chatos, as it's called, goes to Chamishi. Now, what happens if a person has a piece of Chulin, but like we learned in the Mishnah, there were people that only ate chulin, even though you can eat chulin when you're tummy, it doesn't matter. But they kept such a high level of purity for chulin, they treated it like hegdish. The question is, can that chulin become a shlishi and a revi?
For them.
For them. Probably. Or for that matter, for anybody. Once the chulin was made, al taras hakadosh, does it have a din of Hegdish? Even though it's really Chulin. But do we give it the din of Hegdish that the Tumah can even go toward a Revi? And there's a Machlaikas, as they bring down in Chulin, in the Gemara Chulin. One opinion says, granted you want to eat it as pure as you want, but you can't make something go beyond the level of Tumah. And the other opinion says, if you treat it like Hegdish, it could become Tumah like Hegdish. It can go all the way down to the V. So Rav Mari says, from our Mishnah, we learn and we see that it goes all the way to Chulin, which is treated like Hegdish, can become a Revi. And the Gemara is going to prove, Mimai. The Gemara right away asked, where do we learn this out from? So the Gemara says on top of the page, Mid the lake, Tanu Bamaila, because when the Mishnah is discussing about the religious people that eat Chulin in Tahara, it doesn't say that status in the Mishnah. The Mishnah speaks about Chulin, the Mishnah speaks about Truma, the Mishnah speaks about Hegdish. The Mishnah doesn't speak about a level of Chulin which is made al Taras HaKadosh. Why? So the Gemara wants to prove, because it is Hegdish. Because Chulin, that's treated like Hegdish, is Hegdish, and therefore the Mishnah doesn't have to say it, because the Mishnah says Hegdish, it means this level of Tumah too. So right away the Gemara asks, what are you talking about? Maybe the reason why the Mishnah doesn't use a separate level regarding Chulin Shanasa Taras HaKadosh, because if it's similar to Truma, it says Truma. If it's similar to Chulin, it says Chulin. Meaning, the Gemara says like this. The fact that the Mishnah does not mention Chulin, which was treated like Hegdish, shows it's like Hegdish. Why? Because it doesn't make it a separate category. So the Gemara asks, what are you talking about? It's either Chulin, Truma, or Hegdish. So chulin is mentioned, truma is mentioned, hegdish is mentioned. So why do you need a separate category for chulin, shenasa, ataras, hakodesh? And it says right away the Tanan, because we taka learned in the Mishnah, chulin, shenasa, ataras, hakodesh, chulin, which was treated like hegdish, rabbalazah, brabtzadikaymer, I'm sorry, arehen kachulin. They're like chulin. Rabbalazah, brabtzadikaymer, arehen kachulin, they're like truma. So the question, how do you know they have a din like Hegdish? Maybe they have a din like Chulin. Maybe they have a din like Truma. Like the argument between the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik. So therefore, you don't know. You don't know that Chulin that became treated like Hegdish has a din of Hegdish. Maybe not. Maybe it has a din of Chulin or whatever. So the Gemara says, you're right. We can't learn it out from that part of the Mishnah. Chofam et Aleph, in Chagiga, in the second half. So the Gemara answers, Elami Seifa, we learn it out from the end of the Mishnah. Why? Because it says at the end of our Mishnah, Yesi ben Yezer, Yesi ben Yezer from Pirkei Avos, Hayachosid Shebekahuna. He was the most fanatic Kohen when it came to Beis HaMikdash things. But yet, Vahayimistapchei Midras Kedesh. Yet his napkin was Tomei for Kedesh. That means even though he treated everything like Hegdish, even though he treated everything like Hegdish, his garments, his cloak, his napkins were considered Tomei for people that needed to eat Hegdish. And the Gemara continues, the Mishnah continues, and says, Yechanan ben Gudgada, the Mishnah says, Haya Eichel Ataras HaKedesh Kol Yomav. He used to eat Chulin, like Hegdish, meaning he never ate anything if he wasn't 100% holy, pure. Yet, his cloth napkin was Tomei for Chatas. What do you see from there? He was only Tomei for Chatas. But he wasn't Tomei for Hegdish. Why wasn't it Tomei for Hegdish? Because it had a din like Hegdish. So what do you see from Yechanan ben Gudgada? That Chulin, that he ate like Hegdish, for Hegdish wasn't Tomei. Why wasn't it Tomei? Because it had the same din of Hegdish. So the Gemara proves from our Mishnah, and now afterwards the Gemara is going to get easier a little bit. The Gemara says, from our Mishnah we see that if you eat Chulin in the same level of purity like Hegdish, it has a din of Hegdish. That means it can go down all the way to Ravid to become Tomei. Even normal Chulin can only go to Sheni. There's no Shlishi or Ravi by Chulin. But if you treat Chulin like Hegdish, then it has a din of Hegdish. It could even become a Ravi Tomei. Even though it's still Tomei for Chatas. Because Chatas is even a more stricter level of Tumah.
Why people take that upon themselves to do that level? It's not necessary.
The reason why they did it, the Mefarshim explained, because in those days, people ate korbanos. Okay? To eat a korban, you're not allowed to be tamei. You have to be tahor. So they wanted not to get ever mixed up between chulin and... You see a piece of meat, yeah? Do you know if it's chulin or hegdish? So normal people had to taka know the difference. Because if it's chulin and you're tamei, you could eat it. If it's hegdish and you're tamei, you're not allowed to eat it. Right? So what did these people do as, so to speak, a fence? Not to come to any level of mistake at all. They treated everything like Hegdish.
The Gedolim did or everybody?
No. These few individuals. And there was called the Perushim. The Perushim were the fanatic Jews that wanted to be very religious. And in Bechlal, these people, they didn't eat, as we'll see later in the Gemara, they never ate together with an Amma'ara to the table. Because Amaris was always considered Tomei. They weren't careful in the laws of purity and impurity. So they would never eat something at the same table with an Amaris, because maybe, as we'll see in the Gemara, maybe they touched it. Maybe they moved it. By accident. In fact, we're going to learn the whole next piece of Gemara. The next page of Gemara goes away with, when you're watching something to make sure it doesn't become Tomei, sometimes a slight removal of the mind, you get distracted, will already render it tamei, because we don't know. And it's so strict, because tamei that ate hegdish is chayiv misa. It was you talking about not be they in the not from Bezdin, but from Hashem, you got killed. So it's a very severe punishment. So these people always ate, even chulin, they ate with the same level of to make sure to be pure like hegdish. They shouldn't ever come to make a mistake.
What was the third and fourth deadline? Was chulin was a sheni, third was
truma. Hegdish goes to 4 and Chatos goes to 5.
How did they treat the chulin as hegdish as opposed to truma? I mean, how would they make the difference between?
No, truma for sure they ate like that, but even chulin they ate. That was the thing. Truma for sure they ate like hegdish. The chiddush was even chulin that you didn't need to be pure. They also only ate it when they were pure.
But he's saying, what would we go to third? Why would we go to fourth level? If he's going to third, how does
it? No, but even chulin they treated to go to the fourth level. That's how strict they were, and they wouldn't eat it unless if they're a tummy, then they would eat it anyway because it didn't matter.
So the concept of washing the hands is related to this.
Washing the hands, we learned, is because the hands are always occupied in touching things what might be tamei. So the Chacham said, even though your whole body cannot become tamei, but for bread you have to wash your hands. Okay. Huh? The Alter Rebbe says in Siddi, you're not allowed to rely on that. Okay, now the Gemara says that the people that would be very careful in the laws of Tum and Tara, the Purushim, like we said before. So it says, Amar Rabbi Yenisim ben Elazar. Rabbi Yenisim ben Elazar said, we're on page Chaf, like 12 lines from the top. Amar Rabbi Yenisim ben Elazar, Rabbi Yenisim ben Elazar said, we're speaking now again only about the Purushim. We're speaking about the guys who were very, very careful. Even Chulin, they only ate completely in Tahara like Hegdish. So what happens? Nafla mi'afarata menu. What happens if his shawl fell from him? And he would say to his friend, Tunali, give it to me. And he gave it to him. Tameya, the shawl was considered Tamei. Which is very interesting then. The guy, he's very careful, right? He's watching his shawl, that it shouldn't become tummy. It falls on the ground, and obviously the guy he's talking to, he knows for sure he's not an Amma Aritz, he's not tummy. He's another Parish. Yeah? And he says to him, do me a favor, pick up my shawl that fell. And the guy picks it up, and he gives it to him, it's tummy. Again, we're talking about the Purushim that were very, very careful in the laws of Tum. For him, it was considered Tamei. Why? Well, we'll see why in the Gemara soon.
Is it because the other guy is not clean?
No.
Ground, or
no, he told it to another Parush to give it to him.
But why did it become Tamei?
The Gemara is going to explain, because even though he's like guarding it, the fact that somebody else touched it, it's automatically not guarded.
But he was not Tame.
Doesn't matter.
Huh?
Doesn't matter.
So then the Pirush cannot eat the same table with another Pirush either, because he might not be.
One second, we'll see in the Gemara. One second, we're not done yet. Am Rabbi Yenisim ben Amram, Rabbi Yenisim ben Amram said another din. Neschalfal kelim shol Shabbos bekelim shol Chol. If somebody, this is the guy's own garments, he got mixed up between his Shabbos clothing and his weekday clothing, the lavshan, and he put him on, meaning he wanted to take out his weekday garments from the closet. By mistake, he took out his Shabbos garments from the closet and put them on, they're tummy. The one I'm going to discuss, I mean, where's the logic of this? Because it doesn't make sense. The guy himself is pure. He's this Parush, right? He's very careful. The fact that he wanted to take out Shabbos clothing. No, I'm sorry. he wanted to take out weekday garments. It doesn't matter. It's either way. He wanted to take out weekday garments. And by mistake, he took out his Shabbos garments. That's called removal of his mind from watching Tumah, and it becomes Tameh.
Doesn't make sense.
Good morning. We're going to explain why in a second. Then there's another story. Okay, then it says a third din, Amr Abulazib Rab Tzadik, Maise Bishtein Noshim Chavedis. Until now, these were din. Now it tells an incident. An incident occurred with two women who were Chavedis. Chavedis means the female Chaver, meaning female Tamar Chochem, or female Porish, meaning they were very careful in the laws of Tumah. By mistake, they put on the other one's garments. Now you're talking about two women that both of them are very careful in the laws of Tahara. Yet, by mistake, they switched garments. And what happens? Now the Shaila came to Rabbi Akiva. The Timon and Rabbi Akiva said they're both Tameh.
The clothes are Tameh, or the person?
The clothes are Tameh. Nitmu means he declared the clothing Tameh.
That means automatically they make the person Tameh.
No, because a person can only become Tameh from an Av HaTumah. A person can only become Tameh from Av HaTumah. We're talking about garments. Could go Chulin to Sheni, Truma to Shlishi, whatever it is.
So if they wear that Tameh garment, they can go into Beis HaMikdash or what else?
No, the question, what's the story with the garments? The people did not become Tameh, because a person cannot become Tameh from a Sheni Shlishi Revi, whatever. A person can only become Tameh straight from an Av HaTumah. But in all these three cases, the Gemara says, you know why they're Tameh? Because they were lacking in guarding it. Now, if you look at each case is a little bit different than the next. The first case is, he said to his friend, give it to me. The fact that his friend held the garment, he guy automatically doesn't watch it the same way as if he would be holding it. The second case, he exchanged one garment for the next. The fact that it's a different garment, and you thought this is weekday, and you took out Shabbos, that itself is called removing of the mind.
But mind doesn't make
tamer. No, we're talking about the concept of hesech hadas, meaning, and this is what I just wanted to get into the Gemara before you explain it. The concept of hesech hadas means, for a parash, for a person who is fanatically careful in the laws of Tumah and Tahara, the din is, in order for the garments to retain purity, they cannot remove your mind from it. You're not allowed to remove your mind from it. Once, like he says, they only consider retain their state of Tara as long as a consciously and uninterrupted guarded from Tumah.
So, Rabbi, what happens at night when they're sleeping and they're not guarding the stuff?
So they put it away in a way that they know for sure nothing happened to it.
Either this is Tameh, according to Torah, it's not Tameh. It's Tameh, it has to touch it, another Tameh. If it's not touch, according to Torah, it's not Tameh. Even if you didn't think, even if you didn't have Mashava, it's not Tameh, Rabbi.
The Gemara says that because these people were so careful, for them, that is the stringency of the law, how far they have to go.
I understand, but in reality, it's not Tameh. For them, probably, is in their level, is not that Tahor, but it's not Tameh. In order to be Tameh, according to Torah, it has to touch another Tameh. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand, but once they're not guarded for Tameh, and these people were so meshugge frum, we can assume that there's a possibility something became Tameh. And by the way, excuse me, we're going to see cases in the Gemara, to Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel interrogated the person and found out that there was Tumah that they weren't even aware of. There was that kind of level of Tumah they didn't even know about.
So you're saying because this happened, Hashem makes this happen because something must have happened in the past.
No, for these people that were on this high level, that's the level of purity that you must have to retain that status of purity. That's all.
There's a concept of guarding in the Torah also, when it says about terumah,
mishmarti. But by the way, you have the same thing when you wear tefillin. You're not allowed to be masir das in the tefillin. When the Kohen Gadol wore the tzitz, you know, the thing on his head, he's not allowed to have hesach hadas in the tzitz. You need to have a level of mind guarding. That's the halach of hesach hadas.
So we can't do business in the tefillin?
No, it's very difficult. Halachically, when they used to do business, they used to take off the tefillin taka. They didn't wear tefillin all day, all the whole day. Only guys that were learning, you know, like the people that in business. Okay. So basically, the last two cases that we said, number one, when the Shabbos clothing got mixed up for the weekday clothing, or the women exchanged clothing in the mikveh, or in the bathhouse, whatever, and Rabbi Kiva said they're tamei, because guarding of one garment is not good enough guarding for a second garment. So the Gemara asks Maskel or Rav Eishiah. So Rav Eishiah asks a question on this din. And he says, Alameyata, now, if somebody put his hand into a basket to take out a loaf of wheat bread, and he by mistake ended up taking a barley bread, are you telling me based on your guidelines, are you telling me what you just said, it's tamei? What do we say? That if you made a mistake and you took A instead of B, so automatically it's not called watching, it's hesach hadas, it's removal of the mind, and it becomes tamei. So Rabbi Eishiah says, let me ask you a question. If a guy wanted to put in his hand and take out wheat bread, and by mistake he took out barley bread, are you going to tell me it's tamei?
No.
One minute. So he says, v'chi teima hachenami, and if you're going to tell me it's not, meaning, if you're going to tell me that it is tamei, rather, I'm saying, if you're going to tell me it's tamei, Hatanya, but we learned in the Braisa not like that. What do we learn in the Braisa? Hameshames hachavius, if the guy is guarding a barrel, becheske shoyayin, he thinks it's wine. In other words, it's a barrel of something. The guy thinks it's wine, and he's watching it from tuma, that it shouldn't become tummy. And then, v'nimtza shel shemen, then he finds out it was a barrel of oil. What's the din? Tehedah militami, it's not tummy, it's tahar. One's oil and one's wine. You see, it doesn't matter. So Rabbi Eishiah is asking on the second two cases, when the guy thought it was Shabbos clothing, he took out weekday clothing, or the lady got exchanged the garments, why did Rabbi Kiva say tummy? Why are you saying tummy? If the Mishnah clearly says that if you thought it was wine and it ended up to be oil, it's not tummy. What's the... But the concept, you're right. But the point is, it's not because of touching and not touching. It's a question, did you remove your mind from it or not? The guy that touched it is not tummy. He's tarred. What's the problem? The problem is there hesach hadas or not? It's nothing to do with touching, because the guy that touched it is not tummy. But the Gemara seems to, and this is very strange, the expression straight, the whole din of tum and tar is strange. I mean, it doesn't make sense anyway. The Torah itself says it doesn't make sense. Okay? So, in fact, the Rambam says a very interesting expression. The Rambam says, a mess, a dead body, doesn't make you tummy, and a mikveh doesn't make you tahar. God said, a mess makes it tummy, and a mikveh makes it tahar. In other words, the Rambam is completely irrational. Okay, when we're talking about levels of tahara and tuma, so for a parush who is so fanatic in the laws of tahara, the chachamim said, okay, if that's the status you want to be, I want the halacha says we want you to know that is the second there's hesach hadas, the second you remove your mind from guarding it to the proper level, it's tummy. And the Gemara brings down three cases. One case is the guy's garment falls down and he asks his friend to pick it up. Which, by the way, is difficult to understand because the guy's watching it. He's still watching it. And the Gemara is going to discuss it soon. He's still watching it. Why should he become tummy? Then you have a case, the guy with the weekday clothing and the Shabbos clothing. He's the guy's touching both of them. Yet it's called, because you thought something else, it's called Hesach Hadas. And if you have Hesach Hadas, it's called Tumah.
But that way, Hashem says, He doesn't punish for the bad thought or not touch. It's only action. You know what I'm saying? It says, it's action. If you think of Mechalel Shabbos, you don't get punished for thinking of Mechalel Shabbos. You know?
But the laws of Tumah and Tara, or a lot of these laws, depend on your kavana. It depends on your intention. If you make something with a certain intention, in fact, we learned last week, I think it was last week, we learned the Gemara, you know, if water goes on something, it becomes susceptible to become Tumah. Right? But that's only if your kavana was that it should get wet. If you didn't have kavanah, it happened completely by itself and you didn't even know about it, it doesn't become susceptible to tumah. Why? Because your kavanah makes it or breaks it. Your kavanah makes it susceptible or not susceptible. Here the Gemara says, the removal of your mind from certain types of things is going to render it tumah. Meaning, it doesn't have the same status of what it had before. So if you're putting it on a level of Hegdish, it's Tummy. A non-Porridge Jew can eat it. Doesn't matter, because, you know, they could eat it. Okay, now the Gemara says, all the time Meich, so the Gemara counters with a question. According to your logic, that the misconception does not invalidate it, it says, Eima Sefer, look at the end of the Mishnah, of that Mishnah, it says, Asura Melacho, but you're not allowed to eat it. It says it's not Tomei, but you're not allowed to eat it. What does that mean? That means, am I? Why? Why can you not eat it if it's not Tomei? So the Gemara explains. Amar Rabbi Yemiya, so Rabbi Yemiya explains the Mishnah, it's speaking, but Amar, when the guy who's guarding it says, Shmatiya Midover Hametama, I guarded it only from something that would render it Tomei, and not from something that renders it Possel. In the laws of Tumah, we mentioned this din all the way at the beginning, but we have to mention it again. By the laws of Tomei, of Tumah, there's something called Tomei, and there's something called Possel. Tomei means it can not only become Tomei itself, it can make something else tamei. Possel means it itself becomes tamei, but it cannot make anything else tamei. Okay? Tamei means not only could it become tamei, it has the ability to make something else tamei.
I thought the tamei means, so to speak, impure, while yeah. Possel means it's invalidated.
Yeah, but that's the difference. The Gemara uses in Mishnah and the Gemara, it says that and the Gemara itself clearly says this. Tomei means it renders something else Tomei also. Possel means only it becomes Tomei. So the case over here is speaking, the guy said, I only watched it, I only guarded it from a level of Tumah that can make something else Tomei. But I didn't guard it for the lesser level, which only makes it Tomei. Which only can make it Tomei. So therefore, you're not allowed to eat it because you didn't guard it for that level. For the lesser level. But because you watched it from something Tomei, so therefore it's not Tomei. Meaning, it's not Tomei enough to make something else Tomei. But it itself becomes Tomei.
Doesn't the higher level, so to speak, umbrella the lesser level? Doesn't it kind of include the lesser level? Like as we learned before with the mikvahs?
Yeah, but not in this case, because he didn't guard it for the lesser one. And therefore, because in his mind, he only guarded it from a stricter level of Tumah.
Didn't we learn with the mikvah before, though, that when a person...
Yeah, but in those categories, yes, but not by Tumah. Because if you're guarding it for a stricter Tumah, that means you're not guarding it for a lesser Tumah.
No, I thought it was that case.
No, it wasn't.
If you're toiveling for
a stricter Tumah,
right.
But not guarding. That's what I'm saying. If you table for a stricter tumah, it covers a lesser tumah.
Right.
If you table for a lesser tumah, it doesn't cover a stricter tumah.
Right.
But here, you're talking this to the reverse. Because I'm guarding it from becoming tumah, not pure, becoming tumah for a worse thing. But I'm not guarding it. In other words, I'll give you an example. You can guard your... Oh, 1 second. You can guard your health, God forbid, that you shouldn't get a heart attack. But that doesn't mean you're guarding your health not to get a stomach ache.
Right.
Just because you're guarding yourself...
Is worse than a
yeah, but I'm saying just because you're guarding yourself from a heart attack doesn't mean you're guarding yourself from a stomach ache. You see what I'm saying?
So
by mikvah's the opposite.
Okay.
Over there is mamash the opposite. You're doing tahara. Uh-huh. So if I'm pure for a worse tumah, for sure for a lesser tumah I'm pure. But here's the opposite.
So how do you guard for a higher tumah as opposed to for lower?
You have to guard it more carefully.
So in other words, for this
you have to guard more carefully.
In other words, are you saying that if he were to have guarded it for the lesser tumah,
right?
He would have. It would have also included the higher tumah. In other words, if he would have guarded the lesser one and found out that it wasn't...
See, in this Gemara it's so funny because Hesach Hadas doesn't mean anything. If you're guarding it, it's only what you're guarding it for. That's it. Because like this, you're removing your mind from something else.
This food that person is eating, it went through a lot of different levels before I get there. First it was in a farm, then it brought it into the...
They guarded it from the beginning.
Then they went to the store finally and...
They bought from separate special places that were, you know, was completely careful. The Rambam discusses when they made the Paraduma. I mean, you hear, it's unbelievable, it's a Mishnah, but the Rambam brings it down in the laws of Paraduma. When they shechted the paraduma, they had to make sure that nobody was tamei. Okay, so what did they do? Women gave birth in places, women that wanted to raise children special for paraduma, gave birth in a place that they built that was impossible to become tamei. And then they would take the kids... And the Rambam describes they had an elephant with a little riding booth on the side of the elephant. And they made it in such a way that if there was any tumah underneath them when they were traveling on the road, the bottom it would stop the tumah and they wouldn't become tumah. It was a whole procedure from the birth of the kid. How careful they were that the mechata shouldn't become tumah. I mean, women gave birth in special places and raised kids in special places that they shouldn't come to any...
Not any kids, though.
No, but there are certain kids. Yeah,
they just had to be for the rest of their life.
Well, how many paradumas were there? After they made the paraduma, there was finished.
Until it was...
Whatever, as long as the kids weren't tummy. There's a whole procedure, how they made it in such a way that you couldn't even come possibly to any tumor.
Kohanim children or any children?
Pashas, Kohanim, I mean.
Regular people?
They would put it in caves that underneath was blocked the tumah. I mean, a whole procedure that they did that the person shouldn't become tummy.
Israelites could also shed their
Bible. No, Allah's okay had to do it. Normal Karbanis that Yisrael could shecht.
Not Paraduma. How did this happen exactly?
What?
I don't understand. When the children were born, so they were born, raised in such a way that...
That it was impossible they became Tommy.
Right, but how does this relate to the shechting of the Paraduma?
No, I'm just saying that you see when it comes to the severity of Tumah, the people went all out to make sure there was no Tumah. So I'm saying, if a guy wanted to eat chulin al taras hakodesh, okay, there are probably special Purushan stores, and that had special grains that people watched and supervised and make sure there was no tumena, whatever it may be. Listen, the same way we do now with matzah. the shmura matzah, right? What do they do? They guard the wheat from the shmura means guarded, right? They guard it from the time it's cut. Okay? They make sure it's put in places and you supervise and everything, that there's no water coming in contact with it. It's over there. They did the same thing with tumah. It wasn't easy lifestyle, by the way. I mean, they couldn't go into a Nash store and buy Nash. They couldn't go into a supermarket and buy food. So what does Gemara say? And the Gemara is coming up with a new concept. The guy guarded it halfway. You know, he guarded it from that it shouldn't be so tummy to make something else tummy. But it wasn't enough, but he didn't guard it that it itself should become puzzle. So the Gemara asks, Umiika nitirusa lepalgo? Is there half watching? What do you mean, you watch for half and not for the whole? So the Gemara says, in? Yes. Well, Tanya, I'll prove it to you, because we learned in the Braise. Hey, shit, yodi besal. If one extended his hand into a basket containing figs, ba'asal al-ksef, and the basket is on his shoulder. That means he has a basket of figs on his shoulder. He sticks his hand to get the fig. And the shovel, okay, is in the basket. And his mind was on the basket and the figs. And he didn't think anything about the shovel, meaning he guarded the basket and the figs that it shouldn't become tummy, but he didn't guard the shovel. So the din is tmeya, the shovel hasal tahar, the basket is tahar, v'magreif tummy, and the shovel is tummy. Why? Because he didn't guard the shovel. He only guarded the figs in the basket. It's in the same place and the same guy is touching it. It doesn't matter. What you guard for is guarded. What you don't guard for is not guarded, even if it's in the same basket. So basically, what's the Gemara saying over here? You see that you can guard halfway. So therefore, it's possible to guard for something that became tamei, but not for something that became possible. So now, the Gemara says, and the Gemara is not done yet, Hasal Tahar. So now the Gemara asks, why is the basket pure? Tetame hamagrefa l'sal. If the shovel is tamei, why doesn't it make the basket tamei? What are we saying? There's a basket of figs with a shovel in it. The guy sticks his hand into the basket, touches the shovel instead of the figs. So we say the shovel is tamei, and the basket is tahar. So the question is, why doesn't the shovel make everything else tamei? So the Gemara asks, ain keli mitame keli. One keli cannot make another keli tamei. Why? Because the din is, a keli can only also become tummy from an avatuma. Food can go on to sheni shlishi to v. People, Adam and Kalim, again, why? Because there's a cause. Adam and Kalim could only become tummy from an avatuma. Rarely is a basket or a keli an avatuma. A person becomes an avatuma. Rarely do you have a basket that's an avatuma. So the Gemara says, the shovel is tamei, but because the shovel is not an av hatuma, it can't make the basket tamei.
How you said rarely, how can a basket become av hatuma?
If it touches a dead body.
Yeah. If it's an
ohel.
But then it's not the
av.
It's not
the av hatuma. Yes, it is.
The dead body is the av hatuma.
No, the dead body is avi av hatuma. Grandfather.
Oh, I see. The grandfather.
That's called avi av hatuma. The grandfather.
Uh-huh. So in other words, the basket fig, the wind would have to.
Or like he said, if there's a dead body in a room, all the kelim in the room are avatuma, but that's rare. Most of the time, because a person becomes avatuma from bodily impurities, a woman who's a nida is an avatuma, a man who is a zav or balkari, you know, flows from the body, that makes him an avatuma. So a person could be very easily an avatuma. Right? But kalim usually aren't. So the Gemara's question, why doesn't the shovel make the basket tamei? It can't, because the basket's a keli. But now the Gemara's going to ask, why aren't the figs tamei?
What?
The figs. Oh. Because if the shovel is tamei, the figs are not a keli, the figs are food. So why doesn't the figs become tamei?
That's right. Because the shovel has a wooden handle. You need liquid.
It was part of the soup.
No. It says, Amar Avina. So Avina explains, like we said before. But Amar, when the guy says, Shemartiv midava shemetamei, I only guarded it from something that would render it tamei, but not from something lepaisli. Meaning, he did not. So what's the case? The Gemara says, it's a strange case, that the guy says, I only guarded the shovel from not becoming tamei to make something else tamei. That I guarded it. But I didn't guard it that it itself should become tamei. Meaning, the shovel could become tamei because for that he didn't guard it. But he guarded the shovel that it shouldn't be enough tamei to make something else tamei. So therefore the figs are not tamei. Because he was guarded for that aspect of it, that the shovel can't make the fig stomach. But it wasn't enough that the shovel itself becomes tummy. So what do you see from here? The Gemara says, you see that there is half watching. You can watch a shovel in a way that it itself becomes tummy, but not enough tummy to make something else tummy. That's possible. But the Gemara is good. By the way, all this Gemara is just to bring out a question. All this Gemara is a Gemara asked the question before. Rabbeishi asked the question, why, by guarding one clothes, Shabbos clothes, do the weekday clothes become tamei? Why the women, when they exchange clothes in the bathhouse, did it become tamei? We learned a din that if you're watching a barrel that you think is wine and it ends up to be oil, it's not tamei. It's two different things. Right? So the Gemara, this is all in the process of asking this question. Rabbi Kiva said before a statement that if you change your garments or you pick the wrong garment, the fact is it's called removal of the mind and it becomes tamei. In this price, it says clearly, in the Mishnah it says, that if you're watching wine and you find out it's oil, it's good. It's a different substance. According to your rules, it should be tamei. And the Gemara Taka says, mikoma kem kasha, but still it's a kasha. Why does Rabbi Kiva say that one garment, because it's not the real garment that you were watching, it's tamei? And here we say, well, you're watching wine and it ends up to be oil, you are guarding it. And then the Gemara says, Va'ed Meisiv Rabba Baravu asks a different question. And he says an interesting story. Meisiv Bisha'achas, this lady came before Rabbi Shmuel, the famous Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva's colleague. But Amrulon, she said to him, Rebbe, Beged Zeh Araktia B'Tahara, I wove this garment in purity. But V'Loi HaYabalibi L'Shomer B'Tahara, but I never guarded it from the moment it became three fingers by three fingers. I never guarded it at that time on that it shouldn't become Tamei. Meaning as follows. In order for a garment to become tamei, it needs to be a certain size. A thread cannot become tamei. The minimal size to be called a garment is 3 fingers by 3 fingers. That's the size that a minimal, let's say 3 inches by 3 inches. That's the minimal size that a garment could become tamei. So the lady comes to Rabbi Shmuel with a shayla. She says, Rabbi, that's what she called, Rebbe, I wove this garment in purity, But once it became 3 fingers by 3 fingers, I really never guarded it. I know nothing Tommy touched it, but I really didn't guard it that nothing should become Tommy. Okay, so what happened? Umiteich bedikis shahayir Rabbi Shmuel beitka. When Rabbi Shmuel started interrogating her in all the facts of what happened, Amrla in Milik, as a matter of fact, she said to him, Rabbi, Nida mashcha imi bechevel, and Nida drew together with me the rope that was attached to the loom, which is in the weaving process, and she didn't even realize that by the Nida moving it, that itself made a tummy.
She's touching the yarn.
Yeah, but the fact that she, by moving the yarn, she moved everything else. Meaning, indirectly moving it. It could be that she indirectly moved it. Right? And if it could be, it's a biblical doubt, don't forget, Tumah and Tara is a biblical doubt. If it's a biblical doubt, you're strict. So Rabbi Shmuel, while he was talking, the lady comes along and says, I wove it with purity. And she wasn't even aware that a woman who was a Nida was actually pulling the rope, and therefore it was very, very possible that she moved this garment. So what happened? Amar Rabbi Shmuel, so Rabbi Shmuel said, Kamagdelim divrei chachamim. Look how great the words of the scholars are. Belibe shamrei tahar, if one had a mind to guide it, it was tahar. If he didn't have in mind to watch it, it was tummy. That means, what did Rabbi Shmuel saying? The Chacham was so brilliant, they knew that something could become tummy without even you knowing about it. And therefore the Chacham said, you must guard it to the ultimate level. And if you don't guard it, without even you being aware of it, you could end up making a tummy. That's one story. Then Shuv Maisa Bishacha Shabbos Lefnei Rabbi Shmuel, a similar story of a lady that came before Rabbi Shmuel and said, Rabbi Amrali, she said to him, Rabbi, Mapez Uaraktiya Betar, this cloth I wove in purity, but V'lohaya Belibi L'Shemer, I didn't guard it. And as I know, I made it Betar, but I didn't guard it. And Rabbi Shmuel, when he was checking her, found out, Rabbi, Nima Nifsikali, a thread that I was using snapped, and I tied it by using my mouth. Meaning, and what the lady, as Rashi explains, what really happened is, she was tummy as a nida. She didn't go to the mikveh. So when she wove it, she made sure nothing touched her body. But she didn't realize that she ended up, something snapped, and she used her mouth to hold something or to tie something, and she didn't even realize that itself became tummy. So again, Rabbi Shmuel said, Kam gdelim divrei chachamim shayu emrim beliba l'shamri Torah and beliba l'shamri tummy. If you guarded it, good, and if you didn't guard it, it's not. Now, the question the Gemara is asking, what did Rabbi Shmuel say, basically? If your mind is to guard it, it's good. Yeah? If my mind is guarding it, what's the difference if it's weekday garments or Shabbos garments? What's the difference if it's the women changed garments in the bathhouse? Each woman was watching it. They thought it was theirs, right? So theirs they were watching. Right. So the Gemara is asking from Rabbi Shmuel, you see, what's the main thing over here? That your mind is set to guard it. So the question is, what difference does it make if it's one thing or two things? What's the difference? You're guarding it. Right. You're guarding it. The Gemara is basically asking, who cares? Why should there be a problem?
But that's why the Shemin is
Yeah, but the Gemara is asking on the case of Rabbi Akiva and the other case. Why did Rabbi Akiva say that the thing is Tomei? Because they exchanged garments. Or because a guy thought it was weekday and it was Shabbos, or vice versa, doesn't matter. Becomes Tomei because of it. Why? Why should it become tummy? What is he's watching it? So Gemara says, Mele the case of Rabbi Elazar ben Abtzadik. Rabbi Elazar ben Abtzadik's case was two women exchanged the garments in the bathhouse. It could be kolacha semeres. Each woman could say to herself, "Chaverti aishas ha'ma'aretz." My friend is a wife of an ha'ma'aretz. Therefore, masir died to mina. Therefore, they removed the mind from it. And the same case, Rabbi Yenison ben Amram. Rabbi Yenison ben Amram's case, when the guy transferred, you know, made a mistake the weekday Shabbos for clothing Shabbos. Kivin the kelim the Shabbos because the Shabbos did a kelim. Avilu shimet tvei. He made a better guarding. I'll explain in a second. Mat Messiah died to me now, therefore it's possible he removed his mind. The Gemara says like this. We have three cases before. Two ladies exchanged garments in the mikveh, and one guy with the Shabbos clothing and the other one. The Shabbos and the weekday ones. So he said, over there, I can understand why maybe it's Tamei. Why? Because the two women in the mikveh, maybe each one thought the other one was not so frum. Maybe the other one was not so frum. So therefore she said, oh, she has it already. It's maybe not so good. The same thing. No, it's fine. Why? Because the two women in the mikveh, maybe each one thought the other one was not so frum. Maybe the other one was not so frum. So therefore she said, oh, she has it already. It's maybe not so good. The same thing, no, it's fine. The same thing, the case of Shabbos and weekday clothing. Over there you could also say maybe the guy removed his mind from it. Why? Because Shabbos clothing people watch more than weekday clothing. So maybe over there it wasn't such a watching. But the Gemara says, El Rabbi Yenison ben Elazar, but the case of Rabbi Yenison ben Elazar, when one guy dropped his garment and he said to his friend, meaning his chaver, which is also very strict, give it to me. The Gemara's question is, Navad lo shimur bidecha de chaver, why can't his friend watch it? In other words, over there, why isn't my shawl falls off? I tell you to pick it up. You are not Tommy, because the Gemara says it was his chaver. And he says, pick it up. So why can't I watch it when you're having it? So Rabbi Yochanan says, Chazaka ein adam mishamer ma shebiyat chaveri. A person does not guard what's in somebody else's hand. In other words, the Gemara says like this. When my scarf falls down, and I tell you to pick it up, do you know if I'm tummy or not? No. You don't know if I'm tummy or not. So you might think, you know, I don't have to guard it so much because maybe the guy's tummy. So the Gemara explains that's why it makes it tummy. Mm-hmm. Because there was hesech hadas. The Gemara's whole question is why should it make it tummy? I'm watching you pick it up. So why isn't it good enough? The answer is, you know why it's not good enough? Because it's possible that you don't know if I'm tummy or not, and therefore you don't watch it properly. You see from here the way the Gemara is going mamish to the extremes. Okay, this Gemara, we're going to stop here because this is a new piece of Gemara. It's almost finished with the paddock, but it's a new piece of Gemara.